Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, W is for welcome. That's what we've been talking about these last couple of weeks. And, you know, I was remembering back when I was, I think I must have been about 19 years of age. I got my start in ministry in the Salvation Army. That's where we accepted Jesus, both my wife and I, when we were in high school. We weren't married at that time, but that's where we accepted Christ. And so I felt the call of God in my life early on. And so my intention was to go to the Salvation Army Training College in Toronto, which is like a Bible college, and begin my training there and become a Salvation Army officer. And if you know anything about the Salvation Army, it sort of uses military terms. So they have like a general at the top who's not quite the Pope, but that kind of idea. And then it goes all the way down to the lowly cadet. And I was the lowly cadet. But I was so excited about going to Toronto. It was my first time in a big city. And, you know, I had my Salvation Army uniform on. I was ready to win the world for Jesus and get this training. And I had no idea what Toronto was going to be like. None at all. I had no idea what this college was going to be like at all. I didn't know what awaited me, but I was just young, excited, anticipating what this was all going to be about. So we arrived at Pearson International Airport in Toronto. I'm blown away by the size of the city and the humidity and the smog. And so I take a cab in all the way from the airport to the Salvation Army Training College, which was on Bayview Road there, if you know anything about Toronto. And so I'm so nervous. You know, I've got the bags in the back. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm wondering if I'm going to get lost. Will they even know who I am? You know, all of those kinds of things you wonder about when you're going somewhere new. And the taxi driver, he drives up to the place and he pulls up into this main road. And I am shocked as we're driving into the college. I couldn't believe the welcome they had for me. It was unbelievable. I was blown away. I saw it. You know, the Salvation Army, they have brass bands. Brass band. I'm not kidding. It was a brass band. I'm going, oh my goodness. And so I saw the brass band there, and I said to the cab driver, well, just drive up that way because they're ready. This is where I'm going. So he drives up along, and I get out of the cab, and I'm thinking, this is an incredible welcome, a cadet, and I've got the brass band, and all the higher-ups were there. You could see it. They had their Salvation Army uniforms on, and they were dressed and lined up in a row, and I thought, oh, my goodness, surely God has called me to this house. I knew it. And so I walked up there, and I began, okay, I admit it, a little bit of a strut, because, well, you know, I'm a lowly cadet, and I'm walking up there, and I'm kind of thinking, this is going to be the most amazing few years of my life. And then this guy down the way says, hey, get out of the way. The general's coming. So my thought of welcome was sort of destroyed within a few short moments there. So we're talking about welcome. W is for welcome. You know, central to the theme of that series title is this, and Luke was talking about it last week. God is a God of welcome. His nature, his very nature, is to love and to welcome all that would come, all that would come. And, you know, Jesus himself, he just exemplified that characteristic. Jesus was a constant welcomer. Whether the invitation was extended to a prostitute, a religious leader, or a thief on the cross beside him, Jesus said, you are welcome here. You are welcome in my kingdom. And as Jesus welcomed, so too are we to welcome. We are followers of Christ. We are, in a sense, his agents of welcome. And how we welcome others, whether it's in this house itself or as we engage with others in the world and culture around us, by design, it has a significant impact on the kingdom of God. Being a people of welcome, it's not just an assignment that we have, because it is surely that. It is part of our purpose as Christians. It is a part of the mission that God has for you and he has for me. Well, last week when you came, and we've done it again this week, we kind of messed you up. You came in here and the seating was changed again. And then there was this table in front of you. And I want you to know that this has been strategic in its design, although sometimes a bit messy as you have to kind of go down longer rolls. I get that. But as he taught last Sunday, Luke spoke of the strong illustration of a meal. And so we have this table that is before you. It's this picture, it's a wonderful picture of the gathering together of God's people, which is exactly what we're doing today. We're gathering around the table. The gathering of God's people and all of those that they would invite to his house. Luke talked about this last week as well, but you know, Jesus was often at a meal, whether it was a meal that he hosted or whether it was a meal in which he was a guest. The Bible gives us plenty of occasions when Jesus used the setting of a meal to issue the invitation, "You are welcome here." Whether it was on a hillside feeding 5,000 or 4,000 people, whether it was in the home of a tax collector, or whether it was on the beach with his disciples as he served up breakfast, Jesus is a God of welcome. Jesus is a God of welcome. So pursuing that illustration of the table and welcome, all are welcome. We used this table to serve communion last Sunday. It was the Lord's Supper. Jesus bringing us once again to the table to remember him and to remember him together as a family, to be reminded that there is always room for more. There is always room for more at this table. So for the next few minutes, we're going to be exploring the practice of welcome, of hospitality, of inclusion. And we're going to talk about that as it relates to us, this family, Living Waters. But before we talk about the practice, it's important that we remind ourselves again of the principles or beliefs that lead to the practice, because that foundation is essential to where we're going. It's essential to embracing the practice. So, we welcome because welcome is an expression of God's love. We welcome because Jesus welcomed us, and that welcome changed our lives. In fact, it transformed us forever. We welcome because Jesus himself practiced welcome. And as his disciples, as his followers, we are to follow what Jesus taught. And we welcome because Jesus has given us the responsibility of filling this table with his guests. Whether rich or poor, whether broken or whole, whether religious or irreligious, we are to go out and invite others to come. We are reminded in Scripture that the harvest is ripe and the workers are few. We are to be a people of invitation, inviting people to this table. The principles that drive our welcome must always come before the practice. Because without that understanding, the practice is shallow. It's half-hearted, and it's inauthentic, and none of those things would describe the church of Jesus Christ. You know, in the early church, and we understand the early church was far from perfect, just as we are far from perfect, but these principles that I've just talked about really naturally just led to the practice of welcome. So it really is worth going back and taking a look at the early church and the practice of welcome, the practice of hospitality, the practice of inclusion there, which in the end, as Scripture tells us, led to this God-centered worldwide movement of which we are a part. Let's read Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. If you've got your Bibles, you can flip them open or to your phones, whatever is convenient for you, or the screen. This is what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those who were in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This was a church that understood ultimately the deeper places of welcome. The early believers learned together. They broke bread together, including, as we did last week, the Lord's Supper. They regularly prayed and they regularly worshiped together. And the Bible tells us that they shared generously one with the other. Huge principles of welcome. There was in the early church this profound sense of community that drew them to a place of a radical valuing of people over possessions. And when that happens, that is a sure sign of a welcoming church. As they understood the principles of living as Jesus taught them, the good practices of welcome and community just naturally followed. And the Bible says, as we've just read, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. More were coming to the table. Many, many more. See, there was something about the ethos of the early church that was attractive. Attractive enough to draw the disinterested into the ranks of the interested. And from there to the ranks of the saved. That something was strong enough that people, whether they were pre-believers or whether they were believers, they would come and they would stay despite the potential of persecution and the loss of home and family. There was something that drew them and there was something that had them stay. Well, of course, we know that reason was their hope in Jesus. They were drawn because there was truth and a clear sense of light was being offered in their dark places. But listen to this. In running in tandem with that hope were their practical expressions of love being communicated to this new and growing family of God. It was the gospel that Jesus taught being practiced at the community table. A gospel that saved them and a gospel that held them, because at the table they found authentic care and a generous spirit, what we call a community. And it was a gospel that encouraged them to invite others to experience what they had experienced, because they had discovered themselves through invitation that there was always room for more. There was always room for more. Well, the progression of a few centuries has not changed the value of welcome at all. Today, it continues to be kind of a natural rhythm for those who know Jesus and those who desire to experience him in his power. Welcome continues to breathe life into his church as we discover that no matter who we are and no matter where we live, no matter what we have, no matter what we don't have, we are welcome to join the family. We are welcome at his table. This is important. The practice of welcome is not only for a few. The practice of welcome is not only for a few. It's not only for the host team that welcomes you as you come in. And it's not only for those who are gifted, and they think that they're gifted in terms of welcome. You can grab that phone. Just go ahead. Whoever's got it, it's all good. These people are phoning up. They're saying, is somebody going to welcome me at this church? Because I'm waiting outside. The door is locked. I don't know. No, it's good. This is family. It's all good. That is so good. So the practice of welcome is for every believer. Do you hear me on that? The practice of welcome is for every believer. It is something that we all can do. It is something that we all should do. And when it's embraced well, it's an assignment that has this far-reaching effect on those that Jesus loves and who we are called to love as we love ourselves. It just moves out from that place. Well, I think that we practice welcome well here. I see it evidenced every Sunday that I'm here. I see it evidenced in our life groups that meet throughout the week and through the stories that I hear of people who are meeting with people. It's truly few Sundays go by when somebody doesn't comment to one of us on our team about the sense of welcome here, the sense of community, the sense of warmth and all of that. I really would just echo what Luke said last week. Well done, Living Waters. Well done, community. There is a sense of welcome that is here, and it is awesome. But listen, we must be careful not to allow our growing sense of community to think that somehow we have arrived fully at that place. Welcome here, and the community that follows that welcome is a work in progress. We haven't arrived. We haven't landed in that place. It is a work in progress. And to be frank, we are not unlike the early church because we don't always bat 100 at our welcome, to be honest with you. From time to time, as much as we hear the other great stories, we hear from those who have somehow missed our welcome. We hear from those among us who, while seeing community expressed genuinely and exercised around them, feel that they have not quite been welcomed into the family. And so those observations remind us that we haven't quite fully landed there yet, that we are a church who practices community and values it deeply, but it is a work in progress. It's a work in progress. We are so not perfect. I think of the early church and the Greek widows who were complaining early on in the community because they felt they were not being cared for well enough, and the apostles had to make the adjustments along the way, and the early church was full of making adjustments and taking steps forward along the way. So yes, we can celebrate, and we should celebrate the community that is here. Thank you, Jesus. But we also need to know that there is more for us to do. There is always more that we can do in expressing our love for one another. May we continue to practice welcome well. May we also work together to ensure that it only gets better and better as we together discover what community is like, the way that Jesus has meant it to be. Well, we wanted to get practical this morning. And so I thought this through, and I prayed it through, and so we've just kind of come up with a list of 7 best practices of welcome. And so we're going to walk through those for the rest of the message time this morning. These 7 best practices, they don't fall in any particular order, and they certainly don't form an exhaustive list. But I think that they are primary points of welcome for us. And I hope that this list is something that's going to sort of help us to kind of formulate welcome in our own spirits and our own minds. And so we're going to look at these 7 principles. The way that we started earlier today, we're going to look at principle, and then we're going to look at a practice. And you will see that as we go through them, the heart of welcome goes well beyond a cheery hello and a nice handshake and maybe a great hug, although I must say my wife gives great hugs. I'm just saying right now. Our welcome here introduces us to that broader place of discovering community, and so we will see that as we go through these principles. And we should also see this before I begin, that welcome is not only about what happens here in this gathering at this location at 9095 Glover Road. It is about welcome as a Christian response. So it's not just about what happens here. And that's really important for us to understand. We understand that church is not this building. We understand that church is not this address. We are the church wherever it is that we live, and we can extend welcome here, and we can extend and ought to extend welcome in our neighborhoods. So here is principle number one. We welcome connection. We welcome connection. Okay. And so the practice is that we're intentional about meeting others. You know, one of the reasons that we have that 7.5 minutes of community time is for us to meet one another. And it is particularly there for those who are new to our community. It's about connecting, absolutely, but it really is important that we connect with those who are near. And you've heard me say this before. We don't want to be overzealous and scare people away by our friendliness. That's not it at all. But there is an opportunity for us to connect well with someone who is new. Listen, first impressions are extremely powerful. If somebody comes and they don't know Jesus, and they come to our house, and they are not welcomed, and in fact they feel isolated because all the other Christians seem to be doing very well, thank you very much, the chances are they are not going to be coming back. And frankly, I'm not sure I'd blame them, to be honest with you. We need to be a place of welcome. We may have, and we do have, people who come to our community because there is brokenness within them. And sometimes that brokenness is from the past. It may be through other communities, whatever it happens to be. But they come to this place. I've talked to people who have not been to a church for years. But somewhere, someone along the line said, you ought to try out Living Waters. They need to be welcomed here in this house. They need to have an experience that's fresh and alive, that's welcoming, and it's wonderful, and it's warm, and it's not weird. We don't practice weird. We practice welcome. So here's what we need to do, is we need to be intentional about people who we see. And when we say, well, you see somebody that you don't know, go say hi, we mean it. It's not just something that we repeat every week. It's an encouragement to go and connect with somebody that is not new. This is not about us just connecting. Part of it is connecting with people we know and we reconnect, and that's awesome. That's a good. That's community. It's great in that 7.5 minutes. But I'll tell you what, the intentionality of that 7.5 minutes is to connect with somebody that's new here. Do you know that we've had people say that they've been here for a good long time and nobody has said hello? That's the truth. Now, I know that that's not our heart. That is far from our intention. But I just bring that up because it can happen. It can happen if we're not intentional. And so it's important that we value connection here. It really is. Now, let me just say something to those who are new to our community. I encourage you to connect. I encourage you to, and it may feel a little odd sometimes wondering what these people are doing and they're having a coffee break here. What's this all about? But I just encourage you to go out in the lobby, grab a coffee, say hi to somebody. And if they're not friendly, come and tell me. Here's the other thing is, here's principle number two. We welcome story. We welcome story. We learn from one another's stories. I love how Jesus has brought this community together. We are so diverse. We come from so many different expressions of church. It's unbelievable here. It's wonderful. And there is something powerful in the sharing of story. And do you know that in that 7.5 minutes, you can actually share a story? It may be brief, but it's an opening piece to the story. Like, do you live around here? Walnut Grove. Oh, great. I live in Walnut Grove as well. You're kidding. You're in the same complex? Fantastic. You teach. Well, that's great. I teach too. You know what I'm saying? And story begins to form. Now, it's not all going to come out in 7.5 minutes. But I'll tell you what, that story is going to find its way out, because you're going to see them maybe the next week and the week after, and they will hear your story and you will tell them your story. It's a welcoming thing. It says we are in this together and I am interested in you, because I am. Really. Sharing story is amazing. That's why we do it here all the time. It says, I care about what your story is all about. It's powerful stuff. Principle number three, we welcome mess. We welcome mess. And our practice is that we help clear it up. Listen, as we invite people to this table, as we encourage them to come, as we have come, we know that we come in our brokenness. We are all broken humanity. We have got so many issues. Oh, my goodness. But we have a Savior that saves, and we've got a Savior that heals. We've got a Jesus that gives us hope. It's amazing. And so part of what community is about dealing with mess, the mess of humanity. When I walk into this building, I come in with my mess. And so do you. And so does somebody else who's coming new to this place. And what a great opportunity for us just to be messy together. Knowing that it's not just about talking about mess, going over and over and over and over a mess. It's about having Jesus intervene in our mess. In helping us. Clearing it up. And we can do that together as a family. There's nothing worse than coming to a place when you own the mess and you know you do. And you are by yourself. But when we can deal with it together. Wow, it's amazing. When we pray for Pete in Jesus' name. It's a messy situation. But see, we can come around Pete and Jenny and we can pray in Jesus' name and ask for healing. We can be a part of that. We just deal with the stuff, just the mess of life. That's part of what we're to do here is we welcome a mess. My prayer has always been is that we will get really messy here. That we will move from clean-cut Christians all gathered in a room to just messy non-Christians. Not that we will fall back, but we will still be here. But the messy non-believers will come in because they know that the hope is here. That kind of mess I long for. I long for broken people to come to this house because they know that Jesus saves and heals and is for them. I long for broken people to come to our houses because they know that we know a Savior who heals and restores life. That's the kind of mess we need to pray for. All of us need to pray for. That brings us to our next principle. We welcome one another's needs. We welcome one another's needs. And our practice is to respond in love. We engage practically. The Bible says over and over again that when we go by someone who has a need, that we ought not to keep walking by. We're to stop and we're to pray and to help and to offer assistance. It's so important that we welcome need because at some point we will have need. So let us do that. Let us welcome the need and then respond in love. Engage practically. Sometimes that need is practical. And we can help that way. And sometimes that need is just to come alongside and just be supportive. And we can help that way. But please don't pass somebody who is sitting in a chair weeping and leaving them alone. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. It means the world for you just to go by and say, can I help you? Can I pray with you? Can I at least help share maybe some of the burden that you're feeling? It's so important for us to do that. Principle number five, we welcome the opportunity to serve others. Welcome is often best stated through our choice to serve one another. And in the context of our gathering here, there are many opportunities to serve. Do you know that, and I don't want you to get bored with this, because this is an important element of who we are as a church. We need to be serving one another. And we need to do that as a part of our welcome. You know, we've got, I'm just thinking about last Sunday. I don't know what it looks like this last Sunday, but last Sunday, do you know that we had 12 babies in the nursery? Come on. Like there's this population thing happening here. It's amazing. Do you know that we need to have volunteers for those babies? Because like they don't do well by themselves in the room. I love the volunteers who go into our nursery. It's fantastic. It's so good. But we need people who will step up and serve as a part of welcome. Do you know that young parents who are coming in here and they've got the child, the first thing that they care about, they don't care about the fact that Luke doesn't wear socks. Personally, I'm concerned about it, but they're concerned about the nursery. And rightfully so. Will my child be loved and well looked after? Absolutely, because in our welcome, we are going to serve you. Our coffee is another good example. We do coffee not just because of coffee. Coffee is a part of our welcome. But you know, we're struggling having people help us make coffee. We enjoy it, but we struggle there. But we don't do coffee because it's great coffee, although it is awesome coffee. I had a woman come in one day, and she walked into this house, and she looked, and she saw us drinking coffee in here, of all places. And she said, this is the first, she was a first-time visitor, and she said, Pastor, and so I knew she was first because, you know, you don't call me Pastor. And she says, Pastor, I'm not happy with what's happening in here. I like the church and everything, but there is coffee being drunk here. This is not, this is a holy place, and so on. And so I just said to her, as I was sipping my coffee, I respect her thoughts. I do. I respect her thoughts. But I said to her, you know what? It's not about this. It's about this. And there was a group of people standing together, having coffee together and talking up a storm. I said, that's what it's about. It's about that. And when you look at the mess that our carpet is in, come on. There are coffee stains everywhere in this place. And we call them what? Medals of community. And I'm happy to have those here. Not because the coffee stains are easy to live with. But who cares when we're connecting together and we're having coffee together and we're talking? So somebody's got to make the coffee. That's my point. Somebody's got to make the coffee. Okay, so I'm giving those as a couple of examples, but welcome is about serving. We serve one another. Jesus served the disciples. We need to be serving one another. And I am going to ask you, particularly as we move forward into this new year, that you step up and you offer to serve. Most of our rotations only take you in maybe once every 5 weeks or 4 weeks. It's not a big deal. But it's not just about doing something for the church. It's not that. It's about being a people of welcome. It's about developing community amongst ourselves and serving one another. Principle number 6, we welcome relationships. We welcome relationships. We're intentional in inviting people in. Now listen, our church is probably about 700 people. It's probably about that large. We encourage you to belong to a life group. That's a part of welcome. We encourage you to connect with a newcomer's life group if you're new. We encourage you to come to a men's breakfast or a women's. There's all sorts of places to connect. But I'll tell you what, one of the most important things is for us to be intentional in inviting people into our lives and to things that we are involved in. So there are lots of things that happen here, yes, in this community. But I'll tell you what, this is a place where you can invite people into your lives and home. If you come here in the community and there's somebody that's new and they live in your area, why not invite them over for tea and toast? This doesn't have to be hard, but it's so important. The world is not about us. The world is about those that Jesus puts in our path. And so we can invite people over to our house. Invite people over for tea and toast. Invite people over for pannekoeken. These guys are amazing. Pannekoeken. Okay, I didn't say it quite right, but it tasted awesome. Be a people of invitation. That is about welcome. It's not just about what happens here, but inviting people into our home. The best experience my wife and I have ever had within community is through our life group, our newcomers life group. We invite 15, maybe sometimes 20 people into our home, and it is amazing. We get to hear story and we get to have them in our home. There's something about coming into our home which is incredible. It's all a part of welcome. It's all a part of welcome. And amazing things happen when we connect with others. We were just at a life group closing thing last week at Roz and John Molnar's house. They're kind of finishing up for the summer. They'll be connecting a little bit. But that was, I saw in there, and this group came from one of our newcomers life groups, I saw deep relationship. We saw incredible friendships that have been formed. Do you see, this is about practicing relationship. This is about learning more about one another and being involved in one another's lives. It's about welcome. Here's my last point. Last principle, welcome. There is room at our table. There's room at our table. You can see how full we are this morning. 11 o'clock will look the same. This coming fall, we're going to be pretty tight in here. Awesome. But we will always have room at our table. That's why we developed our evening service. And that's why this fall we may be looking at doing 3 morning services rather than just 2. Because welcome is important. There needs to always be room at this table. You need to always have a place for people to come. That's a commitment that we've made. And if we have to do 3 or 4 services in a day, that's what we'll do. But we also recognize that it has to go just beyond that. That in order for us to practice welcome and in order to do what the things that Jesus has called us to do them well, we have to be pretty excited for the future that he has. Let me just close by telling you a little bit about what I see in the future and why this is important for us, and I am passionate about welcome. God is not done with us. I feel the Lord has a huge vision for us. And it's not just about here. It is about what's happening here, and it's about people coming. It's about people finding Jesus. It's about people finding healing here. It's about all of those things. But I believe the Lord's desire is for us to go beyond this location. And so for this last year, we have been looking at developing a strategy for multiplying this church. We believe that there needs to be a Living Waters somewhere else close by. Not because we need to have another church. It's because we need to have more room at the table. See, we're not going to blow out walls here. We're not going to be building a balcony here. Not while I'm here. We're not going to do it because this feels good. You see, we get to know each other here. But after next year, we can only do like 4 services in a day. After that, somewhere along the line, one of us is going to die. And it may be the old guy. So we're talking about maybe looking at planting a church somewhere nearby that would look a lot like us. Now, we've got a year ahead of us. We're working through that. We're being very strategic, very careful, very prayerful about this. But it's our commitment because there always has to be room at the table. And we believe what God is doing here and has been is unique to this community. And we also believe that community, the practice of welcome, is the very thing that those who are in our neighborhoods need. They don't need people preaching Jesus at them. What they need is people practicing Jesus with them. Being a people of invitation, encouraging them, being Jesus to them, and being a place of invitation. And so that's part of our future as we see it. I believe that's God's preferred future for this church. We have only just begun. But in order for us to move forward in that, we must be a people of welcome. We need to be a people of faith, believing for things that would seem impossible. And yet, when I walk through Walnut Grove, when I see all of those houses, and I know that behind those doors, the vast majority of people don't know Jesus, I think it's got to be much bigger than we are. It really does. It's got to be much bigger than we are. It's part of what we're called to do. Remember, Jesus was all about welcome. We want to welcome people. Continue to welcome them to our house and to our table. Would you stand, everybody? Let me pray with you, and I'm going to let you go. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for life that is here in this community. God, thankful for welcome that has been expressed. And Lord, that we've been able to gather together this way around your table. Help our hearts, Lord, to get beyond, well beyond ourselves and into your heart, Lord. Your heart for the lost, your heart for the broken, your heart for the disenfranchised. Help us, Lord, to be a people who extend invitation and welcome, Lord, so that this culture may know truth and it may know life and light. I want to just leave you with Romans chapter 12, verse 9. May it be our hope and practice. as we go home today. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. May we be a people of welcome, and may we be a people of invitation. God bless you, everybody. Have a terrific Father's Day out there. Enjoy the sunshine. See you this coming Sunday.